Welcome to hour number two, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host. Our news director, Andy DiRiso, is joining us, and hopefully not until the end of the show, so will be the police. That's another story for another time. Our special guest is Bob Fletcher, and we're talking about a number of topics, but Bob, let's go back to where we left off going into the break, which was your involvement with Iran-Contra, and kind of bring this full circle back up to today.
Okay, well, again, just by chance, I ended up being a federal witness in the Iran-Contra mess back in the 80s, and then I was brought in, actually I was a federal witness several times for a different interrelated criminality going on out of Washington, D.C., and the drug connections into the CIA, et cetera, which is so profuse, it just makes my blood boil. The intelligence services have utilized swapping out of weapons into these little war zones all over the globe and swapping it out for narcotics to assist in the revolutionaries, whoever they were, in whatever country it was that we were assisting at the intelligence level. And they have been swapping drugs. They would literally deliver weapons into an area, load the plane up after they took the weapons off, load the plane up with narcotics, and fly them back to the United States and offload at our military air bases in the United States. They would simply radio ahead. They had to have a special code, black box code, for communication, identified as a central intelligence plane coming into a given military base. No one on the base is allowed to even look at it. They bring it in, run it into an empty hangar, close the doors. Nobody gets to even look inside. Then they bring in a truck or have a truck waiting there, offload the narcotics into the trucks and take them out and distribute them into the blood systems of our children all around the United States. That's been going on since all the way back to the Vietnam War in the 60s, when they were doing the same thing through Air America, flying the drugs out and setting up their regular ongoing system. Another means by which these individuals these CI operatives get away with this to make extra bucks. Let me use an example. Let's say they would bring in $10 million worth of small arms or weapons into the Vietnam War to be used there. When it was delivered, by the time it got over there, half of them would already have been taken out, removed, and put into a warehouse like in Manuel Noriega's Panama or someplace else before getting into the Vietnam delivery point. So we'd have, let's say, $10 million worth of weapons. By the time they were delivered, it would only be $5 million worth, because $5 million worth of them, or half of whatever they were delivering, maybe it was $20 million, was sitting in a warehouse hidden away so that they could use those weapons to sell again on the next war in a year or two down the road. So what happens is the official government loads up 10, 15, 20 million bucks worth of weapons. They get shipped over. Half of them are disappeared before they even reach destination. And these same small corrupted guys put the dope on, pull off the guns, give them to the people, the revolutionaries, load the dope on, fly back to the USA, sell the dope, and then in 7 months when we start a different activity in a different part of the globe, they would go in and they would already have another 10 million stored away. And their report would be, in a few months from the day of delivery originally, they would say all $10 million worth of small arms has been destroyed in the fights, in the war, has been depleted in war. So nobody back here, if you were a good guy even trying to keep track of things, it would just look that 10 million bucks worth of munitions was dispensed at the war in Vietnam, when in fact only half of it was ever even delivered. I mean, it's just And it's going on and on. And, you know, what, 20 years later, they had the Iran-Contra thing that I was witness to. And they were doing the same operations and shipping narcotics up on the planes that they had just dropped the weapons off down in Nicaragua. Offload Nicaragua, onload drugs, fly them back, and flew a lot of them right into Bill Clinton's Arkansas. Bill Clinton and the Bush and the Reagan administration were holding hands during the entire period of time. The biggest operator of narcotics in the United States, Barry Seal, was a good friend of the Clintons, so much so, and running his entire multi-million dollar drug operation right in Arkansas, so much good friends that I have live videotape of Roger Clinton, the president's brother, snorting a line of cocaine and making the statement that I have to get some of this to my brother because he's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner. And that's on a videotape of mine that we have. By the way, that videotape was originally a police sting operation, and it was Roger Clinton talking about Bill Clinton on the videotape.
Yeah, anyway, you know, I've heard about that. Let's tell everyone
so
how
much for the lights up.
Bob, let's tell everyone how they can get a copy of that DVD.
Okay. The DVD we're talking about is titled Incoming, The Story of Nibiru. That is literally a double disc. It's two discs, and it's a very tedious, because I cover everything from the financial all the way out to the sciences, etc. All right? It's a four-hour presentation. You've got to watch it on two different days. That's how profuse it is. And it's extraordinarily accurate. Took many years to complete this thing. You can get it, of course, at my website. It's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. And I have done nothing but the very serious congressional illegality investigations for years. And for me to put my name on something that seems as far out as Planet X, etc., which I knew nothing, very little about until a couple of years ago when I started chasing the money and found that how much was disappearing. And I didn't understand how and why it was going on. For me to put my name on that thing, I'm telling you, I am genuinely convinced now that, in fact, Planet X is on its way back in. And the important point is, when I started tracking the money that was disappearing, trillions of dollars, folks, not just millions, these guys steal millions out of Washington just to buy them a new house. But when I started seeing billions and millions unaccounted for, and then I realized the gold was gone, you cannot money launder $1 trillion. Manuel Noriega, drug operatives, couldn't money launder $1 trillion. So when I started looking into it, it was a matter of where did this go? And then
We're going to hold it right there as we're going to break, but when we come back, let's talk about Planet X, what's going to happen, what the dangers are, and more importantly, why people want to see your DVD. Stay tuned, everybody. Back with Bob Fletcher after a word from these sponsors. Joining Led Zeppelin and a bunch of yelling. But anyway, to soothe our nerves, well, I don't know, maybe he's not going to soothe us too much in this segment. Bob Fletcher is going to talk to us about what he's discovered with regard to Planet X. So, Bob, let me kind of set the tone here. I've been a skeptic about Planet X. I haven't closed my mind, but I haven't seen enough in the way of proof to convince me that the phenomena is real and it poses any danger. So what would you say to people like me?
Well, you haven't seen the DVD yet.
Okay, good answer.
You haven't seen my work. It even goes farther back than that, but I worked specifically on this for 3 years and had an unbelievable amount of interruption caused by external people, entities, which included the complete burning up of at least two computer systems internally here at the house, et cetera, et cetera. I had an awful lot of interruption of that. I'd done some extraordinarily heavy-duty reports and exposés, including the drug connections into our government that I had supplied Sonny Bono with, and that's on a DVD. But I've never had as much difficulty trying to complete a DVD in terms of external problems as I have with this one. But here's the point. The DVD, it covers every single thing from how, what, who, when, and where, and then the scientific, astronomical, etc. part of the Nibiru story. I, like I said, knew nothing about it, so to speak, very little about it. It was only a rumor, etc. Had been written up going way back to the 50s and the 60s. But once I started in contacting the people that have really studied this for many years and followed it, then I became a believer. The bottom line, first off, in terms of in general, the first person was a fellow named Sitchin, Dr. Sitchin, many years back, and he had analyzed the clay tablets from Sumeria going back 4,000 years. And after he deciphered thousands of these clay tablets, basically it was a story that included the story of Nibiru, which, by the way, in Sumerian means the planet of the crossing, because it crosses the path of Earth and crosses the other planets. So that was the first of it, and they described all of the horrendous flooding, etc. And that was, in fact, likely the cause for Noah's flood when it came close by at one point in time. Now, his studies kind of indicated a 3,000 to 3,600 year orbit of this thing. The planet is analyzed to be five times the size of Earth, and dragging along with it four or five moons circling it like its own little solar system, so to speak. And the problem with with being skeptical after you really get into it is that it is described in every writing of antiquity on the globe. It's the Chinese, the ancient astronomers of China 4,000 years ago wrote about it in finite detail of it coming around. It's written it's in the Bible, it's in Revelations, it's called the wormwood, it's described also very much in detail in the Bible, it's in the Quran, it is literally in the writings of the Tibetan monks on the top of the hillside in Tibet. All of these ancient original writings have been deciphered, et cetera, and it's all the same. It is, if you believe anything in like the Nostradamus and those people that are what you would call pretty good seers, you know, or psychics or whatever you want to call them, prophets, they, all of them, including Mother Shipton, who was an English lady and wrote all of her stuff in English in the 1400s, she completely describes it also and describes what the effect will be when it comes around. It is written in antiquity over and over and over again. Now, one person has done, has done extreme investigations in this and studies for years and has found in the Bible exact duplicate information relating to this thing coming around, and sufficiently enough that you can put a date on it. Now, anyhow, that's what I call, and it's reams and reams, that's thousands of pieces of documentation documenting this thing going back, like I say, to 2,000, 3,000 years. And I originally thought that a 4,000 or 3,000 year orbit was kind of outlandish, but I was not a scientist. I was not an astronomer, So when I started looking into it, I found out, of course, we are familiar with Halley's Comet, which comes around 75 years. It's in an orbit of 75 years. And then I realized that in the 70s, there was one called the Hale-Bopp Comet that was not even known to exist. And then it showed up, and it went around, and it did its thing, went around the sun and went back out. And our scientists did the studies, and they said it is on a 4,200-year orbit. So we will not see that again for 4,200 years. But then that blew out my concern. With, like I said, I thought 3,000 years was extraordinary. But then I just found the Hale-Bopp comet that's a 4,000-year comet. All right, so I said, so it's not goofy. So I continued my inquiries. All right, then I located an amazing particular item, which is the thing that's called sky disk. It's called the sky disk. And what this was, it was discovered in Germany in an ancient, during the, back 3,000 years ago, there was a observatory with where actually people were watching in Germany that far back. They had built it. It's very similar to the Stonehenge. And they had witnessed 3,000 years ago the solar eclipse caused by Nibiru. And they put it on a huge bronze disc that's about 13 inches across. And they literally had drawn on there in gold. It had been embedded in gold, and it showed the eclipse taking place and all the constellations in the sky at the time, and the solar eclipse, which allowed them to see the stars at the same time that it took place, because it blocked the sun off for 3 hours when it passed around. And by using that disk, astronomers ran it through the modern computer programming that they now have for astronomy, and they were able to verify the exact day that this was created, this huge disk, when it was created, and down to literally the hour. That's how good the modern astronomical computerized system is now related to tracking the stars.
They we'll actually continue talking about back. Track, Bob. We're going to step aside for a minute. This is fascinating stuff, and I'm going to have to get myself better educated about Planet X. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Bob Fletcher after a word from these sponsors. Anyway, we've got Bob Fletcher here to talk to us about that. Bob, as we went into the break, you were talking about the stunning level of documentation for this. Let's pick it up there.
Well, first off, the greatest stuff is all of this information from antiquity, going back, a couple thousand years. Because these people, they didn't commit hoaxes. They didn't make things up. You didn't put things. As a matter of fact, the Chinese astronomers working under the Emperor of China, if they made mistakes perceived to be errors by the Emperor, when you were putting in the official sky watching that the people were doing at that time, and putting it into the official records for the Emperor of China, if you made an error, he had your head cut off. So these people weren't joking around. When they put in descriptions of these galactic events taking place in the sky, and they did unbelievable tracking on just the Nibiru on one particular pass in, I think, 1050 or something like that was the date on it. They tracked it for like 25 days and gave its location throughout the galaxy, throughout all of the different galactic locations, etc. These weren't jokes for these people. There's nobody doing hoaxes about this stuff back in those days. This was diaries, if you will, of what was really taking place. But that only represents a small percentage of what convinced myself, Bob Fletcher, to move forward and keep going with my inquiries. Additionally, in 1991, I believe it was, the head of the Naval Astronomy for the United States of Government, the United States Government Naval Observatory, he came and contacted Dr. Sitchin, who had the first guy that jumped out and started talking about this thing. And of course, everybody in the scientific community said, oh, geez, you got to prove it. How can you prove it? Et cetera, et cetera. Well, this fellow contacted Sitchin and said, I read your books. I've been following and looking for this thing, and I have found it. You are right. There is a planet out there, and it is probably going to come back in, and you're absolutely right. By the way, that meeting between him and Sitchin is on videotape. Fortunately, it's on videotape, because a short time after that meeting, before he was able to complete his report, the official government findings, that in fact there was this 10th planet, he died of what I call instant cancer. He became sick one day, hospitalized a short time later, and then he was dead. He never even got to complete his official report on this thing. All right. There have been recent, absolutely recent new discoveries by astronomers that also have found it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, because of shortness in time, obviously, there's no way for me to cover all of what's on the discs, the information that we have. But here's what I found out. I found out that, again, going back originally to my quest for where trillions of dollars would go, and the fact that the government was not spending, they had changed in 1983, they changed all their direction of things, and they had this thing called continuity of government that they expanded like crazy. And that was through the 80s. Ronald Reagan made an interesting, his speech in, I think, in 83, that's on the United Nations floor, when he said, I wonder if we would all become friends around the world if we realize there was an extraterrestrial threat headed towards Earth. And everybody looked at each other like, what the heck is he talking about? And they thought he was screwy. And then he kind of dropped it at that. But he said, I wonder if we'd all become friends if we had to stand together against an extraterrestrial threat. And I'll tell you what took place approximately in 83 was when Ronald Reagan was given the update that, in fact, it appeared that this Planet X was seen, located, etc., etc., and we had X numbers of years before it will pass close by Earth once again. All right. Now, I cover every single thing on my DVDs, the new DVD on called Incoming, and you can got to go to my website at bobfletcherinvestigations.com, and you can get a copy for yourself. It includes live footage of the underground facilities. It includes photographs, even including China's underground facilities. Because here's what I discovered. The United States in the last few years has built and completed about 100 underground facilities big enough to hold thousands of people. Each one's a little bit different. Some of them big for large numbers of people. Some of them are growing vegetation underground. They are interconnected with highways. It goes back for myself back to the 90s, when I was doing testifying before the Congress. I had people coming to me back in the 90s and saying, Bob, what do you know about these underground facilities that's being built all over the place? And I had truck drivers sent me pictures and photographs and videotapes of going down in underground into these facilities the size of entire towns underground and interconnected by highways big enough for 18-wheelers to cross each other underground, and with railroads entrances and railroads, including, by the way, mag levitation railroads that go high speed, interconnecting some of these facilities. These are built with, and by the way, I also in my DVD, I show you how they build them. They're done with gigantic drills, unbelievable drills that can go into the side of a mountain, and when they pull it back out, an 18-wheeler can drive inside where the guys had just done the drilling. It's unbelievable. Now, to top it off, not only does the United States have them, but the United States had put together a thing called the Seed Vault. And they put this into the side of the mountain in Norway, cooperatively with several major nations of the world. It holds all of the seeds required to regenerate the globe when all living growth seeds, trees and grass and wheat and grain is destroyed and wiped out from some event. It is called the Seed Vault. You can go up on the computer yourself and just put in Seed Vault and it'll come and show you that. That's not a top secret item, but it fits into what we're talking about.
Yeah, so it certainly does.
Sure, go ahead.
Bob, let's squeeze in a quick call before we go to break. Hi, Michael.
Go ahead.
You're on with Bob Fletcher. We've got about 2 minutes to break.
Well, thank you. You know, regarding Reagan's statement at the was at the United Nations, it had nothing to do with a planet. It had an extra planet coming through our solar system. It had everything to do with the secret and why everybody was surprised. Nobody really understood where he was coming from with his comments was because it was a secret probe that we worked with Russia on called Phobos 2 to study Mars moon Phobos, which was already understood to be artificial. They wanted to get a close look at it. Russia's first attempt with Phobos 1 failed, so we secretly assisted them getting the second probe satellite to go there. And what happened in Zechariah Sitchin's, one of his books, did show the second to the last photograph of a huge shadow appearing over the surface of Mars, and then something knocked that satellite out of commission as it was just going into Phobos on one end of its on one end of it, which was clearly open, and that's what that pertained to. And you know, the only thing I can say was
let me ask you a question: how do you know that?
Oh, well, Zechariah Sitchin covers it in his book, number one.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what Zechariah Sitchin explained.
Well, I've read all the Zechariah stuff. The bottom line is that's not what it was, but that's okay. And all of those things you're talking about did take place, et cetera, relative to things vanishing. But we also have no idea when things fail intentionally because they were simply shut down by NASA and or by the you know, we lost two or three things. They went around to take the dark side of the moon, et cetera, and all of a sudden the lost total, they were gone, and et cetera. Those all are true, and that's a reality. But it's got nothing to do with the bottom
line.
Bob,
and I'm going to let you finish this on the other side. Michael, listen off air. Thanks for your call. Stay tuned here with us. Got so much information to try to squeeze in this short segment. So, Bob, we got about 8 minutes, and I want to make sure we give out your website again because
we've
got a great list of DVDs up there, bobfletcher.com, and all the DVDs are there. It's easy to find. So, Bob, we covered the documentation.
In reality, it really sure changes us because, you know, it's a kind of a thing that it just takes so much time to cover everything. All right. But here's the important point, and I got to really squeeze this together so people get a good understanding on why I even move forward on this thing. I discovered not only the United States has these underground facilities with foods in them today, they're not putting it in for a long time away from today. They don't, their scheduling on purchasing has been for the last 2 years. The Russians have done the same thing. The Red Chinese have done the same thing. I have videos and pictures, etc., of all of this that I'm talking about. Now, the Russians, they put a thing out 2010, an internal, that they were going to create 5,000 underground facilities, not big ones, but they were going to do 5,000 and have them finished by the year 2014. They accomplished that. They have them. They also have one designed specifically for the upper crust of their government that will hold over 50,000 people underground. All right, now these are all totally proven, verified, everything. This is not Never Neverland talk. So when I found that out and put it together with the documentation as it relates to the people that have been studying this for so long, now you got to ask yourself, why are we doing it? Why are the government people doing this secretly? They're calling it continuity of government. Baloney. It's continuity of a handful of people that are going to be alive after this thing comes by. It will cause floods. It will cause electronic and gravitational effects. And by the way, another reason I got so interested, and this is all proven now, the planets starting a couple of years ago, starting out by Pluto and coming in, are all already being affected by Nibiru. They're changing in their temperature, the chemical construction of the surface of each planet, their orbits are being affected, they're wiggling or jiggling. You have to remember something. What was the cause for millions and thousands of dead fish, dead birds, dead seals, dead whales, dolphins, etc.? Why would that happen a couple of years ago? Why today? This is something else you can look up. Today, as I speak, we have some 40 volcanoes that have been regenerated as we speak that are actually in eruption configuration today, whether you knew it or not. And you can look that up also. Over the last 6 months, a couple of months back, there was 45 of them at the same time, with 26 others being watched. Those are effects of Nibiru. And additionally, the sun that's been going through all of this extraordinary crazy stuff with black spots and holes showing up on the surface and extraordinary amounts of EMP releases of solar flares, those have been extraordinary. They are also effects. And I must say this, and then I'll jump out of here. James Woolsey, former head of the CIA, when he retired a few months back, maybe 8 months ago, whenever, he said, we will get an EMP, and he did not. He was talking about solar flares affecting us. He said he didn't know when, but we were going to get it, and it was going to wipe us out. Additionally, Janet Napolitano, when she resigned, head of the Homeland Security, she said exactly the same thing, et cetera, et cetera. I have to tell you, go to my website, get this DVD. If you never do another thing, get this DVD. I hope I'm wrong. I hope in 10 years, 5 years, I can come back and you can say, boy, you were an idiot. What a moron you were, because you were really wrong and nothing even happened. But on the basis of what I've seen, you've got to get the DVD and look at it. It covers every question you may have related to this, and it is very scary stuff.
Bob, are there going to be any survivors above ground?
The worst of it's going to be around the coastline. We have 140 million people living on the coast. A large tsunami configuration would potentially wipe out all of the coast. And by the way, talking of coast, I have to add this in. And also, we will go through two times. We will pass through what would be the tail of this thing, and it will be the meteor showers described in the Bible, and it will be an hour, for us to pass through the tail, and then we will go through it again in about 150 days, go through it a second time, and it will be the same thing over again. I wanted to mention Miami. The tides have already changed in Miami Beach. I have a son that lives down there, and I used to live there. The tides on high tide today are coming 6 blocks into the city of Miami Beach every high tide. That is also an effect of Nibiru, causing extra melting, if you will, of the ice caps and glaciers. The high tides are so bad in Miami as we speak. They recently spent millions of dollars putting water pumps into the cities to prevent the city's stores from being washed out every high tide. That's today, folks.
Bob, I'm going to prevail upon you, but if you can't, I certainly understand. Could you stay for one segment after the news?
Yes, sure. How long are we talking?
We're talking until about 15 after.
Sure, we'll do that.
Okay, because this is such riveting information, and I want to try to get as much in as we can. And that'll give us an opportunity here to bring in our friend Roger Brown. Roger, we talked about your loss earlier in the show, and we want to again express our heartfelt sympathies to you. But thanks for calling in, and I'm sure you've got something on your mind.
Yes, I have. I have two questions and some information I can contribute about what went on in Arkansas. One of my hats is intelligence collection and analysis methodologist. I design ways to find the truth when people don't want it found. Have you run across any information about any other planetary systems, like another single planet with one moon also coming into the in this direction?
Well, I got to say yes, but not more than I have no more knowledge than the fact that that has been mentioned and talked about. There have been, and I don't have it immediately in front of me. I do most of these just off the top of my head, so to speak, when I do radio, because it's hard. You can't refer back to things too often. There have been recent folks come forward in terms of discovering the planetary bodies of interest. It was December of 2014, December the 6th, so this is pretty new. There were, in fact, a couple of astronomers that came forward and said that, in fact, they had discovered something out there. Their names were Scott Shepard and Craig Trujillo. They are at the observatory in Hawaii, and they were talking about they had discovered one or two planets that are way out there, not discovered before. And,
good cliffhanger, Bob. We got to go into break. This is a hard break.
Okay.
Roger, I'm going to ask you to listen off air. I'm going to have Bob finish this on the other side. Thanks so much for your call and your friendship through the years. And God be with you during this difficult time. Stay tuned,
Thank
everybody.
You.
Be back for hour number 3 after a word from these sponsors.